All right, find your Bibles tonight. Open those to the 92nd Psalm, if you would, please. 92nd Psalm. Begin reading in verse number 1 of the 92nd Psalm. Giving thanks unto the Lord. Giving thanks unto the Lord. Let me qualify, and then when you read, you'll understand a little more. Our days can be dreary. Our days can be dark, and our days can be anxious. I don't watch the news channel completely. I try to get the weather. There's always good music on the weather channel, that's what old people do, you know, is watch the Weather Channel. Anyway, I can't watch the news. It makes me angry. I get upset. And so sometimes we have to protect ourselves and watch for those things. But when you began to read the Bible and read the book, you began to put salve on the soreness of the spirit. And notice that as you give thanks unto God, sometimes you may not think, feel like or think like giving thanks for some things. But in the process of giving thanks, I've always noticed that my spirits were lifted because I began to find more and more things that I was thankful for and I appreciated than I realized. And this is David speaking in the psalm. Notice it says in verse 1, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn, or my strength, shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire, O mine enemies, and my ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like the cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." Father, we're so grateful to give thanks. We're grateful for all that you do for us, the provision of food, clothing, shelter. Sometimes we take for granted the little things. But God, we're thankful we could ride to church tonight and not have to walk. We're thankful that we have a controlled environment here and the air is cool and it gets heated when it's cold. And we thank you for all the little things that oftentimes go over our imagination and our thought process. Lord, you gave us your only begotten Son. He died for us. Jesus, we've never forgotten that. And we're so thankful that you loved us enough to stand in our place. And tonight I pray that you'd help us lift up your name and praise you for all the wonderful things that you do. Lord, we long to see you face to face. And Lord, we pray even so, come soon. Please come, Lord, and deal with the situation at hand. But we want to be in your presence forevermore. I pray your grace, I pray your strength, I pray your unction and your zeal tonight as we try to bring forth your precious word and your book. We give you all the praise and all the glory for it all. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Be seated. Giving thanks unto the Lord, the 107th Psalm, Psalm 107, and verse number 1 says this, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south." Wow. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Don't forget that the week of Thanksgiving, our services are moved to Tuesday night instead of Wednesday night. There are a lot of people that get off work on Wednesday at noon and they travel to be with family. And so we moved from Wednesday to Tuesday. And I think about as long as I've been here. Nevertheless, we'll have Tuesday night services the week of Thanksgiving, okay? And it's called our praise service. It's a special Thanksgiving service. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from every area of life. You know, there's some great things here. Many of us come from different geographical areas. There was two ladies and a couple of babies here Sunday morning, and they came out. They gave me the visitor's card. They're from Arkansas. I knew they were great people. We're cousins. Everybody from Arkansas is related somehow. And so they were my cousins, and they were here. Pastor at Southwest Baptist Church, what's his name? Yeah, Brother Gaddis. His father was born and raised in Arkansas, and they eventually moved to Kentucky. And when I found out about that, I told Brother Gaddis, I said, "You know we're cousins, don't you?" He said, "What?" I said, "Me and you, we're cousins." He said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Isn't your dad from Arkansas?" He said, "Yeah." He said, I said, "Everyone from Arkansas is related. We're cousins." So we call each other cousins when we see, you know, from time to time. But they were from Arkansas. Not only were they from Arkansas, I said, "Well, where are you from?" They said, "Well, right out of Searcy, Arkansas." I said, "No, they've been there 100 jillion times." They said, "Really?" I said, "I'm from Hazen." "Oh, well, my dad taught in a little town right next to Hazen. And my dad taught school there." I said, "Isn't it a small world?" "Yeah." I said, "Do you guys have more than one pair of shoes? Because I don't, and I just wondered." No, but it's a small world. Geographically, we come from different areas of the nation. We have different kinds of foods that we enjoy. But I think if you lived in West Texas long enough, there's a commonality here that everyone agrees. We like the Tex-Mex out here. And, you know, Roses is a favorite. For fast food, Roses is pretty good Tex-Mex. Brother Copes' wife, Pam, will run over you if there's a Roses. And she gets in the parking lot, get out of her way, she'll run over you to get into Roses. She likes it so well. But so we come from all kinds of areas. We have all kinds of food groups. We have all kinds of culture. We have all kinds of different things in our lives. But we have a commonality. If we've been born again, we are related. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, I can joke about everybody from Arkansas is related. We're cousins. But in reality, if they're born again, we are related. We're related by the Holy Spirit. And there's a commonality there, whether you're in Midland or you're in Seminole or you're in far east Kansas or you're in Kenya, Africa, or wherever you are, As a child of God, we have a relationship and a fellowship and a likeness that you just don't get any other way. And I like that. And I have to give thanks unto the Lord for that. We need to have that habit of being thankful to the Lord. And Kathy and I eat our meals together. We always give thanks to the Lord. Always. And it's a great thing to recognize His hand upon us and upon what He provides for us in the process of all of that. We need a habit of being thankful unto the Lord for being the kind of God He is. Unconditional love. I look at some of you and I don't know how anybody could love you. You probably do the same with me, right? But God loves us. We're His kids when we've been born again. He loves us unconditionally. I said it a little while ago, I came to the realization years ago that there's not anything I can do to make God love me more. But on the other hand, there's not anything I can do to make God love me less either. Boy, now stop and think about that. That's something to be thankful for. Oh, how He loves you and me. For being the kind of God, we ought to be thankful for the fellowship of the church, because wherever you were when you got born again, there's a church somewhere that should be credited for that, because somewhere along the line, someone trained someone and someone taught someone, and they heard the preaching and the teaching of the gospel of Christ and they knew all about it, and they were born again and they led you to become born again, or else they laid the foundation in your life through a local church someplace. What a major thing. Thankful for the fellowship of the church. Thankful that through the church we heard the good news of Jesus Christ. The church is charged by the Lord for teaching and training converts. The Lord has charged the church to reach out to others and try to share the gospel, the good news that Jesus saves. It breaks my heart to see the riots, the burning, the lootings, and all the things that go on, and realize that the light of the sun has not shined in those hearts, or they wouldn't act that way. Stop and think about it. The way they treat others is anti-Christian and anti-God. Well, what's going to happen? They're going to die and split hell wide open unless someone reaches them through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thankful. Thankful for a country like ours. Thankful that as a little old boy out in the country, I was able to experience dirt roads without any pavement. Dirt roads without any gravel that became mud traps when it rained. But in the summertime, they're about this deep in dust. And those trucks and cars going down those roads would have this rooster tail coming out from behind that big funnel cloud of dust that would loom up as they go down the roads out in that farming community. Thankful that I had a country to grow up in where we didn't lock the doors at night or the windows. We slept with the windows wide open and circulated air with a fan, and I could hear the night sounds out there and the crickets and the frogs and all the things going. I could hear the cattle mooing back on the pasture someplace, and all those wonderful things. Greatest country on the nation of the earth. I'm thankful that as I've been able to travel around the world and be gone from my own family for a period of time, I would get homesick and suddenly see the flag of the United States of America flying on a pole, perhaps over one of the embassies, or on board a ship coming into the bay and the harbor. And boy, did it make my heart pump more rapidly, and did I feel the sense of being in the company of friends and being in the company of people that would love me and care for me if something happened. Thankful. We ought to be thankful for our families. thankful for our children. If you don't think that people love their children, all you have to do is get on Facebook. I found that out. I thought Facebook was where guys shared stories about deer hunting and quail hunting and that kind of stuff, and it ain't there.
Really?
No. Every time somebody has a new baby, there's 1,600 pictures of them on Facebook. They love their kids. That's the way it ought to be. We love our children. We love our families. We ought to be thankful for God's Son, for God's Holy Spirit. Not only for the Son who came and died for us to set us free, but the Holy Spirit who comforts our grieving soul. The Holy Spirit, when we don't know what to do, suddenly brings a thought process to our mind and our heart that says, this is the way to go. Walk this way and do this thing. And suddenly you realize it had to be God's hand and it had to be the Holy Spirit of God, because you never thought of that on your own. You follow it, you thank God, and it works out well. We ought to be thankful for every good thing that God brings about in our life. James chapter 1. In the book of James chapter 1 in verse number 17, James writes it down pretty well and makes it pretty clear exactly the way it is. James says, every good gift. That word gift there means the act of giving. Every time someone gives you something, it doesn't matter if it's a stick of gum or if it's a $10 bill. Every time somebody gives you something, a smile, whatever it is, every good gift, the act of giving, and every perfect gift, that's the thing that is given. You say, well, now, preacher, that's a little far-fetched, don't you think? No. Because a chapter and verse comes to mind. You don't have to go there. But in the book of Luke chapter 6, I'm coming back to James. I'm not finished there. But a scripture came to mind. In Luke chapter 6 verse 38, the Bible says, give. You give. The act of giving. Give. And it shall be given, the act of giving back, shall be given unto you. Okay, well, how do I get that? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Listen, shall men give into your bosom. But God uses the actions of men for His own purpose, don't you see? God stirs the hearts of men to give. And here He says, shall men give into your bosom? Well, preacher, I thought you said God would give it. He just did that. He just motivated people to do that. For men shall give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now James says, every good gift, the action of giving, and every perfect gift, that which is received, is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Thank God for it. Every good thing. What to give thanks unto the Lord, because if it's good, it came from the Lord. You say, well, my boss said he was going to give me. Don't you know that God can manipulate the hearts of men? That the Holy Spirit can cause the process of thinking in a certain direction to bring about His will and His purpose? That's the way it happens for God's people. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I want you to notice some examples in the Bible about some expressions of gratitude. Some expressions of gratitude, thankfulness. In some cases, they were thankful for an individual. In some cases, they were thankful for a gift. In some cases, they were thankful for a direction and a purpose. Think about it. I want you to notice, number one, in the book of 2 Samuel, I want you to think about the gift to David of the three mighty men. The three mighty men of David. 2 Samuel chapter 23. You find in verse 13 through 17, I'm not going to read that whole chapter, but boy, is it ever good. You ought to read that 23rd chapter of one of your devotions, The Mighty Men of David. And it gives a description of those guys and their prowess. They were strong, they were mighty, but they were infilled by the Holy Spirit of God to do what they did. But notice in these guys were out to war. And David, the king, was with them. David was there. And David was just kind of saying one of those things, you know, like we oftentimes do, like, boy, I wish I was back at the spring in Saltillo. Man, that water was so pretty, so clear, so cold, so delicious. I wish I had a gallon of that water right now. And those three guys took off to get David water. Notice. The 23rd chapter of 2 Samuel in verse number 13. And three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in harvest time unto the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in a hold. And the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And the three mighty men brake through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Oh, nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives?" Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. And then he gives a description of them. But one of the things that you find here in reading between the lines and reading in the first part of that chapter is how they came to be with David in the first place. And they respected him and they looked up to him. And he was a godly man. And they sensed that right away. And they found all the goodness of David. They found the hand of God upon David. And all the more would they follow him into battle and in other places. So these three mighty men of David were thankful for the impact that King David, or that the captain of the Lord's host here, David, had upon their lives. They were thankful. And David said, "Man, I wish I had some water from that well in Bethlehem. Sits right by the gate. That's the best water in the whole world." Just a matter of fact, they heard him. And they jeopardized their lives to get what David wanted because they loved him so much. They were thankful for his leadership. They were thankful for his kindness. They were thankful that he was a man after God's own heart. They were thankful that they could rely upon the fact that David prayed about those things before he led them into battle. And if you look back, you see they began to sing. Remember when Saul got angry with David because they were singing, "Saul hath slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands." And Saul got jealous. These men watched David and had great thanksgiving for his life. Gratitude. But David couldn't drink it. He said, "Lord, this water represents the blood of these men. They sacrificed. They were put in jeopardy for my sake." And David felt a gratitude for the men who brought him the water. There was a mutual respect and love one for the other. The three mighty men of David, the three mighty men of God, respected and loved King David to the degree that they thought second place of their own life in order to satisfy him. They went and did this. And David loved them. They fought together in battle. They sweat together. They've eaten the same food together as men of battle and war. They know the perils together. They could sit and tell the stories together, as participants, not as hearsayers. And there's a difference in that. And there was a mutual love and respect and a gratitude. And the three mighty men loved David, and David loved them with the heart of God. The men were thankful for David, and he was thankful for the Lord providing them. That's a pretty good story. That's a pretty good thing there. The three mighty men of David, thankful. Sometimes I have sat in the presence of greatness and not realized it. Sometimes I have sat in the presence of preachers and politicians and others that had a reputation, and I didn't know who they were just by name. And suddenly someone tell me, "Do you know who that is?" "No, who is that?" And here it goes. And I suddenly get a newfound respect for them. And now I understand, but before they were just common as me and you and common. But the difference is God had put his hand upon them and used them in a mighty way. And now I have a different respect for them. That's what we get out of this story of David. There's a second thing. Notice the thanksgiving of the sinful woman in the book of Luke chapter 7. The thanksgiving of the sinful woman in Luke chapter 7. Look down in verse 36. Jesus went home with a Pharisee and was in the presence of some Pharisees, and they were making a supper. And you find it says in verse 36, "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city," which was a sinner. She was a woman of the city. She was more than likely a prostitute. And the woman of the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man," speaking of Jesus, "if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she's a sinner." And Jesus answering said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he said, "Master, say on." "There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him the most?" Simon answered and said, "Well, I suppose that he to whom he forgave the most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little, for she loved much, for to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he saith to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. It was not the washing of the feet that saved her. It was the attitude of the heart. She had a thanksgiving heart that made her weep when she thought about how much of a sinner she had been and how much God loved her. Remember I told you? God loves us unconditionally. Remember I told you? I don't know how he could love some of you the way you look, you know, but God does. And then I look in the mirror sometimes and I don't know how God loves me either, but he does. Because the book says he does. Well, she stood there weeping because she had been forgiven of many sins. She was grateful and she was thankful. Boy, the Apostle Paul on one occasion says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, you know, who shall deliver me from this vile body and this flesh?" But Paul said, "I'm the chiefest of sinners. I put saints of God to death. I had them put to death at my word. And yet God has forgiven me." And the Apostle Paul loved the Lord richly. You know, he gave his own life for the cause of the gospel and wished that he could do even more. The thanksgiving of a sinful woman, the ultimate sin, as it was known far and wide that she was a prostitute, a loose woman, a woman of the city. But she was thankful for God's forgiveness and willingness to forget, as most of us should. The saved woman in the house of the Pharisee, she broke that alabaster box that was quite expensive. And Jesus said, "She has anointed me for my burial already." A beautiful scene of devotion and a beautiful scene of thanksgiving. And this time of year, we ought to be recognizing especially the things that we have to be thankful for. We look at ourselves and judge ourselves by others and we think, "I'm doing okay. I'm a pretty good person compared to this one or that one or another." But how do we stand in comparison to Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Man, do I fall short. So far. I was thinking the other day, I told someone one time years ago, they said, "Preacher, tell me about that verse of scripture that says, you know, when you're slapped on the cheek to turn the other cheek." And said, "Now, preacher, I want to know what you think about that and just how does that relate to us? What should I do if someone," he said, "Jesus said that if they slap you on one side, you're supposed to turn your face and let them slap you on the other side." I was in the flesh when I answered. I said, "I'm not Jesus." He said, "I like that." In other words, you might slap me on one side, but I ain't turning for the other side. That takes an awful lot of grace, don't you think? That takes an awful lot of compassion or... I won't know. Thanksgiving of this woman. What a wonderful change does grace make upon a sinner's heart and life. A wonderful change. Notice the 103rd Psalm, verse 12. Actually, verse 10, 11, and 12. And David writes and he talks about the goodness of the Lord in the 103rd Psalm. He talks about forgiveness of iniquities and the healing of diseases. He talks about the Lord having redeemed our life from destruction and how he crowns us with loving kindness now. And then he says in the 103rd Psalm in verse number 10, "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." Thank God for that. "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." Listen. "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust." Thank you, God. We have much to be thankful for. We're not put in the same position that a lot of people are put in. Thank you, Lord. There's one more that I want to give you. In Luke chapter 17, the book of Luke chapter 17, I find down in verse number 11, one of my favorite stories in the Bible. I've seen it happen firsthand. One of my favorite stories in the Bible, the Thanksgiving of the Samaritan leper. Luke chapter 17, verse number 11. "It came to pass as he," Jesus, "went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off." It was by the law of Moses that they were commanded to stand afar off. Kind of like COVID-19. Don't shake hands. Just bump elbows if you do anything. 6 feet away and masked off. And listen, the lepers had to do much the same, but they had to stand far away. And it was the law. And they were doing that. Verse 13 says, and they lift up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, this is the process of faith. He didn't even come over and touch them. He didn't do anything to them. Have mercy on them. They knew that he knew what they wanted. They wanted to be healed. Have mercy on us. Lord, it was obvious. They were lepers. There were rags around their heads. There were rags around their hands and arms. Leprosy was like a cancer that would eat away the fingers and they'd become nubs. The lips until the teeth would shine forth. The ears would be gone. The nose would be. It was a very horrendous looking kind of disease. And that's why most of the time they were in colonies where like begat like and they stayed together until they died, a slow process. Here they cried out and said, Lord, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he did have mercy and compassion. He said, go show yourselves unto the priest. What does that mean? It means when you've been healed of leprosy, the priests have marked you. They know who you are, and you cannot be in society. You have to stay separate. You have to wait till everyone goes to bed and off the streets. Then you can come through the streets and look for crumbs and try to find something to eat. But you have to stay away from society completely. But when you've been healed, you go show yourself to the priest. He knows who you are. And he will examine you and notice that the leprosy has left and your skin has reversed. And he'll declare you clean. And then you can be placed back into society once again. So that's what Jesus said. He said, go show yourself to the priest. And it came to pass that as they went by faith, they trusted him. They started for the priest. And as they were running to the priest, one looks at the other, and the other looks at him, and they said, hey, your leprosy's gone. Oh, he stops and he looks, your leprosy is gone. Yours is gone. All 10 of them yelled at one another, you're whole. And as they were going to show the priest, can you imagine such joy? They're thinking about their families now. They can go and reunite with their families and their friends. They can sit down at a table and have food. They can rejoice. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. And he went back where Jesus was and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Jesus answering said, were there not 10 that was cleansed? Listen. He that numbers the stars numbers our mercy and grace as well. He that knew enough and paid attention to detail and made the stars knows when he extends to us mercy and grace for various things. If he is so detailed to make the stars in heavens, to make the gnats that fly in the air, that make the ladybugs. He knows when he's given grace to you and me. He knows when he's extended mercy. Boy, I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life when I cried out for mercy and I said, oh God, I've wronged you. I have wronged you and I deserve the worst of the worst, but I'm crying for mercy, Lord. I want mercy, please. And God extended mercy, I got to tell you. And I was thankful, very thankful. And that's what he's saying here. Were there not 10 that were cleansed? Where are the 9? Why aren't they thankful? Where's their gratitude? Where's their joy? Where's their elation? Why didn't they come back and give thanks? That's the whole process. That's what I'm talking about. There were 9. 9 out of 10 didn't return to give thanks. That's oftentimes a picture of our response in our lives. We beg God, oh God, please help, please help. In this direction, God. And God does help. And we're too busy stuffing our face with the results to bow on our knees and thank Him for what He's done. One fell on his face at the feet of Jesus and gave thanks. I wonder, and I include myself, but I wonder how long it's been since you fell on your face just to praise Him, just to thank Him, just to have gratitude in your heart. Lord, just to fall in love with Him. Jesus, the sweetest name I know. Have you lifted your voices in the presence of others unashamedly to give thanks to the one who loves you? So, you know, just for you and me to have breath in our body at just the very moment shows me the grace of God. That God still has a purpose for me being here and has a purpose for you being here. And it ought to be a wonderful sign to us that when we are able to take a breath and draw and sense the beat of a heart that pumps the blood, that nourishes the body, that is by the grace of Almighty God. Were there not 10 that were cleansed? Where's the other 9? He knows. He knows. Did you pray and ask the Lord to do such and such? Did He do it? He did. Did you praise Him? Did you give Him thanks? Oftentimes a child will cry for something to eat, you know, and as soon as we give it to the man, they're hogging it down. They don't stop to think that mom or dad worked for that. That's a child's mind. But as they grow older and they're given more responsibility and they labor and they work, they realize that the food on the table doesn't just appear there, that someone placed it there and someone worked for it and someone made wages for it. And it was not just by chance that it happened. It was a process of it. And so too, now that you've been born again and you're maturing spiritually in the faith, now it's not like the hungry child that just grabs and eats and has his belly full and falls off to sleep. Now it's one who realizes that all of this has to be paid for, and Jesus shed His blood for it. And every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, from God, the Father of lights. Isn't that amazing? And yet, we should be thankful. I'm going to ride home in a little bit in a vehicle that has air conditioning if I need air. And the great thing about it is I normally need some cool air, so I flip it on. And she's over there wrapped up in a coat and a jacket, shivering. So I turn her side down on heat and my side up on the air. And it's an amazing thing now. In the horse and buggy days, they couldn't do that. But now, in the automobile age, we can do that. I can have AC, she can have heat.